Karibuni wageni, sikie nyumbani. Okay, Pastor Jim is coming to share the word with us. He had shared with me earlier that he had a word that he's been sharing with the other All Nations family of churches about hope. And, so we're doing our series on Genesis, but last time we were talking about our hope, our eternal hope, and what we're investing in for the future, and this just seemed to fit right in, so we're staying on that note for another Sunday. And then next Sunday, prepare for Genesis 24. I hope you're reading that and figuring out what in there is for how we find guidance and how we find spouses, even for some of you, or spouses for our children, maybe. But welcome, Pastor Jim. Welcome. All
right. Thank you. Hallelujah. So a year ago, I launched my ministry with the Pilgrim Center by going to Congo, and it was in Kinshasa, and so it used to be that Pastor Steve would contact me periodically from Tanzania or from Kenya or from wherever he was, and maybe he wasn't sleeping well, or maybe he whatever. So he'd call me, and we'd talk, and we'd pray, and so I called him from Kinshasa, Skyped him, and we talked, and we prayed, and then it was there then, I don't know if I've shared this with you yet, but it was then and there that the Lord whispered into my spirit and said, he will be the next pastor of Bethel Christian Fellowship. And I didn't do it quite as directly as Molly did when she told me that I was the next president of the Pilgrim Center, but it was more of a to Steve, just a sense of wondering. And so I can't tell you how grateful I am that your new pastor, Pastor Steve, is here. It just brings me great joy, and I just find it the wonderful, as my spiritual director says, the ha-has of God. So he is good in all of that. And I'm also aware this morning, and just as we come to the Word, I want to pray, and also just feel impressed in my heart just to pray for Pastor Ben and his family who are on sabbatical. If you are newer to the congregation, the student life ministry pastor here, Pastor Ben, who's been with us 7 years, is on sabbatical with his family this summer, and just felt in my spirit impressed to pray for them today. So could we just pause for a moment, pray for them, and pray for the word, prepare our hearts. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who builds your church. You are the one who puts people precisely where you would have them to be in the particular times and places and seasons that you have called them. Lord, thank you for that calling. Thank you for Pastor Ben and Hannah in this season of sabbatical, and we bless them and their children. We just pray that you'd pour out abundant blessings over them as they travel, and protection and just refreshment and just great joy, Lord, for them as a family. So we're thankful for them, and we just pray that you would be present with us now. Speak to us out of the fullness of your word, Lord, that which is upon your heart to bring to us today. We're grateful for you, the living, eternal word. We pray that you would come with the specific now word for this day, for this people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as the lead pastor or lead elder of the All Nations family of churches, I'll get it out. I have the privilege of sharing periodically with our congregations, and Bethel Christian Fellowship is one of those. And so the last couple of weeks, I've shared with 5 of our congregations this particular word that I'm bringing to you this morning. So those of you who are members of ICF and HCF, you are getting to have an exclamation point. And for others, the Lord, I believe, has a word for us this morning. And if I can get the first slide up. And the word comes out of Colossians chapter 1. So if you want to find that in your Bible right now, that would be great. And while you're finding that, I have a quote that I want to share with you. I have a quote from Peter Kreft. So this was written many years ago, but I think is just as relevant today as it was when he wrote it. He says, "Hope is the forgotten virtue in our time. For hope means hope for heaven, and modernity's nose to the grindstone, this worldliness, does not lift its eyes to the open skies. Hope means that our heads do not bump against the low ceiling of this world. Hope means that the exhilarating, wonderful, and terrifying winds of heaven blow in our ears. I hope has been terribly trivialized today, just as I believe has. I believe often means, well, I'm of the opinion, and I hope often means merely I wish or I would like it if. However, Christian hope is certain in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. God's promises will come true. There is no if, and, or but about it. For God is truth itself. So this morning I want to share with you a word called that I'm entitling confident hope, or a certain hope that we have. And again, it flows out of Colossians 1. I was reading Colossians maybe a couple months ago now. And as I was reading through this scripture, you know, you read scriptures, and I probably read this 100 times, and suddenly something I'd never seen just kind of exploded in my heart, and it became the seed for this word that I'm sharing with you this morning. Colossians 1, 3 to 6, it says this: we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now that's certainly true. When I pray for Bethel Christian Fellowship, my heart is always filled with thanksgiving for this house. I always praise God. There is no place that I'd rather be. There's no congregation that I'd rather be a part of. There's no other people that I would rather call my people than this house and our All Nations family of churches. Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people. Now listen here. Verse 5 is sort of the foundation of what I want to share here this morning. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Listen to that again. This is a very interesting construction here. This is significant and important. Listen carefully. Verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. I don't know if you got that yet. Let me say it one more time. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So this morning we're going to begin, if I can get, there we go, with the firm foundation, specifically the foundation stored up for us in heaven. So, if you have your Bible, turn with me now to the end of the book, Revelation 21. I don't know when the last time you heard a message about heaven was, but we're going to talk about it because it tells us here that the faith and love, we're going to get to faith and love, but the faith and love spring up out of hope. Hope is like the engine. It's like a rocket ship. The hope is the burners, it's that great thrust that thrusts our faith and the love that Pastor Litovic was sharing about this morning when he was talking out of Revelation 2. It's the hope that energizes our faith and our love. We don't usually think about it, at least I don't usually think about it in those terms, I'll be honest. But this scripture tells us very clearly that faith and love spring from the hope stored up for us in heaven. All right. So are you doing this for me? You are. Okay, because this thing is just not working. All right, there we go. So the first thing that I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 21 is that when we talk about heaven, oh, I have to do the on switch, really? Oh, that helps. This is a new one. You know, they keep getting new stuff, so I don't know. Thank you. The on switch will help. Thank you, Kathy, for helping me. All right. A place of perfection. Take a look for a moment, if you would, at Revelation 21, at the end of verse 9. It says, come, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, but clear as crystal. Then he goes on and describes it had a great high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, and on the gates were written the names of the tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east and 3 in the north, 3 in the south, 3 in the west, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls, and the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. And it measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as high, as wide and high as it is long. So this is, for those of you that have the Bible note in the bottom, 12,000 stadia, 1,400 miles, this city, a 1,400 mile square. So there's a lot of room in the city, all right? Not going to run out of room. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick, which translates to about 200 feet thick. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. I won't read through all of the stones. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, and the great street of the city was of gold as pure as transparent glass. Now, I want you to get the picture. So we're talking about a city that's 1,400 miles, and it's really, the actual word here is like a cube. It's actually a representation of the Holy of Holies on a massive scale. And the walls are made of this jasper, but jasper is typically opaque, but this is as clear as crystal. It's the closest thing that we would have. It's like 200-mile wide walls made of diamond. And then the foundation stones are lit with these beautiful stones, and the stones are in the colors of green and blue and red and yellow. And in my imagination, because the way I'm seeing this, it's like the lights we have up here behind the cross. It's like when the light of the presence of the glory of God shines, all of those beautiful colors come up into those crystal walls. And then there are those gates. Do you see the gates? 12 gates, and each gate is made out of a single pearl. Now, I don't know what about you, but I think the biggest pearl I've ever seen is about that big. And that probably wasn't even real. Think of a pearl large enough that one pearl, out of one pearl, a gate that goes in a wall that's 200 feet thick. And think of how a pearl is made. It's an oyster that gets a little piece of sand and an irritant in it. Can you imagine the level of irritant to make an oyster that big? But think of it this way, people, because I think this is important. Because it is the suffering of the cross. It's the suffering of the cross that created such an irritation, as it were, that the glory had to continue to be built so that this incredible 12 gates, each made of a single pearl. The Bible says Jesus, the gospel, is the pearl of great price. And it tells me in my Bible that those gates always stand open because the cross has made a way for those who receive that grace to enter in. Woo! And then the city itself and the streets are made of gold. And the gold is translucent. It's transparent. You can see yourself in it. It's like a mirror. Now imagine with me for a moment walking onto those. And imagine, you know, all of the people coming. And I just in my mind's eye again, I imagine people, you know, people, we spend so much time here on earth trying to get a little bit of this gold. I think we're going to get to heaven and, you know, they're going to say, well, why did you spend so much energy trying to get pavement? You know, why'd you try to get that asphalt for the streets? But the point of this picture is that this place that is stored up for us, this hope that we have, is because it is a place of perfection. But the second thing I want you to notice is that this is a place of peace. And I want you to think in parentheses in your notes, if you're taking notes, you can put the more full word from the Hebrew, the word shalom. But I love what it says in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It says even earlier in Revelation 21 that there will be no more sea. What an interesting concept. There's no sea left. The reason there's no sea is because sea is a place of challenge. It's a place of separation. It's a place of difficulty. But when we get there to the other side, let me tell you, whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever challenges and griefs you've gone through, whatever pain and hurt and wounds that you have experienced in your life, whatever the disappointments, whatever it looks like here on this side, I want you to know that there is a place that is stored up for us, that we have a confident hope that there is a place where there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Hallelujah. So sometimes when you're in the middle of that, in the here and now, and all you can see is what's the pain that's right in front of you, the encouragement today is to lift your eyes up. Because this is not the end of the story. That's the end of the story. Now, it gets even better. It keeps getting better and better. Because not only is it a place of perfection and a place of peace, it's a place for people. And again, if you're taking notes, you can put in parentheses. Actually, the word here, I mean, and sometimes, well, we have it, you know, that it's a place where they're the people, but actually in the scripture, it's actually plural, the peoples. And it says in 21:7 that those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So let me help you remember. So I don't know if you've ever been in anybody's house that is kind of perfect, okay? That would not be ours, by the way. Okay. But if you've ever been in anybody's house and you know, there's plastic sheaths all over everything, and, you know, there's almost like, if they could, they'd probably put up little ropes to keep you out. That is not our home stored up for us in heaven. Even though in all of that beauty and all of that perfection, it is a place that is a home for us. It's a place for people, for children of all age, for the children who have inherited this through their reception of Christ. It's for us, and it's for people from every tongue and tribe and nation and people group. there's going to be Swedes there and Congolese there. And there's going to be little Sweetalies. And there's going to be people from every kind of people are going to be there. Because that's what it tells me in Revelation 7:9. Right? Every tongue, every tribe, every nation singing hallelujah, hallelujah, every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Yeah, that's us. It's a place for people, but it gets better yet. It's not only a place of perfection and peace and a place for people. It is a place of His presence. Whoo, I love this. Revelation 21, 22, and 23. I did not see a temple in the city. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its light. Or as it says in verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I already read that one. Verse 3, sorry. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them, and He will dwell with them. I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago as I was preparing to preach this message on a Sunday morning to Aromo Christian Fellowship. The Lord just dropped in my spirit, and it was like a fresh revelation for me of understanding. Think about it. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon particular people for a particular amount of time for a particular task. But primarily, the Holy Spirit resided within the temple or the tabernacle. It was the place, it was a physical structure where the Spirit of God resided and dwelt. And then in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all people groups and we have the birth of the church, suddenly now the temple becomes us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and together somehow the Spirit of God dwells here with us. And yet, there is an even further place that this is going, because there's coming a point, there's coming a time when not only will the Spirit of God be within us, the Spirit of God will be everything. It will be the sun in the sky. The Spirit of God will be the air that we breathe. There will be no separation whatsoever, and we will be in His eternal presence, His glorious presence forever. I don't know about you, but there are times here now when I feel more of His absence than His presence. I feel more of His distance than His nearness. That's human. That's life on this side. But there is a hope. And the hope is, on the other side, we have His presence forever. Come on, does somebody want to shout? I want to shout. Because this is the confident hope. You look around right now and there is so much difficulty. There is so much division. There is so much disorientation. There is so much despair. But this is a word right into the teeth of that. Because things weren't really great back when Paul was writing to these churches either. They were going through some suffering and persecution too. But he says, there is a hope stored up for you in heaven. All right, now, that hope is a firm foundation for us. I love this in Hebrews 6. You know this scripture. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Say firm and secure. Come on, say firm and secure. Say it again. Firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. This hope is an anchor in the middle of the storm. Things feel uncertain right now in your life. Things feel insecure. Things are up and down and all over the place. There is a hope, a firm foundation that is a secure place. for you and for me. Because Jesus has made this possible. Hallelujah. All right, now out of this firm foundation, we are called to be faithful followers. We're called to be faithful followers. So it is your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people that is the thing that springs up out of this hope. So let's talk first about faith. Who in the Bible is spoken to us as the father of faith? Pastor Steve's been preaching out of Genesis. Abraham is the father of faith. Paul, reflecting on Abraham's life, you know this scripture. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. I love this scripture. I love the ironies of the Bible. And this is one of them. You've heard this scripture before. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Against all hope, in the face of impossibilities, you and Sarah are going to have babies. Now, yeah, you're way past baby-bearing time. Like, way past baby-bearing time. But you're going to have babies. Ha, 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 really? But against all hope. Now, there were times, let's be honest, because the Bible's true and honest and real. I think there were times that Abraham wavered a bit. That's why he wanted to get Ishmael. You know, he had his other whatever. He had his plans. But nevertheless, even in the midst of that, he stepped back into the promise, and against all hope, he believed. And in believing, became the father of many nations. Now it goes on, and I won't take time to read the whole passage, but it goes on and into Romans 5, at the beginning of 5 as well. Then it says these words, remember? It says, not only so, now he talks about us, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So I'm viewing it this way. Hope is the bookends. What happens is this. You go through a trial and a suffering, and you're hoping to get to the other side. But in the midst of the suffering, character, something is being forged. My dad was a drop forger. I've used the picture before of how that works in a drop forge plant. I don't have time to go into all of that. But that's what the faith, that's what the picture is here. The suffering is producing, it's the hammer of suffering is coming down upon our lives and is shaping something in us called character. All right? Perseverance. As we persevere under the hammering, it produces this character, and the character produces hope. How does that work? Well, what happens is you get through to the other side of that suffering, and you find the hope. You get through, and your eyes finally get back up, and you realize, oh, yes, God has been with me. Here I am now. Now when I go through the next suffering, I have the hope of he who has been faithful here through every situation that I have walked through up to this time will be faithful to me now. Yes? Is this true? Rauners, yes? You guys have lived a little bit of life. A little bit. Am I telling the truth? Yeah, amen. All right. Faith. So that faith springs up out of hope. So if your faith this morning is wavering, get your eyes up to the hope. Because that will energize and give re-strengthen your faith. And then there's love. Pastor Ludwig already shared with us, and he already did a great job sharing out of Revelation 2 and the church at Ephesus and the first love. And the first love there is not just our first love for Christ, but our first love for his people. And Paul says, go back to your scripture in Colossians 1. He says, the faith and of the love that you have for all. Say all. Say all. Say all God's people. Now that just doesn't mean the people of God that think like you. The people of God who check the same box in the ballot box that you do. The people of God that have the same skin color as you do. The people of God that have the same level of education that you do. The people of God that like the same food you like or like to wear the same clothes. Wouldn't you want one of these? All right. Thank you, Pastor Justin. But our call is to love all of God's people. Now, how does hope, this was the one I was struggling with the most. How to make the connection between hope and love. This is the closest I got. Maybe you can help me. When we get to heaven, there are not going to be any segregated neighborhoods. There is not going to be any economic inequality. So the people that you are struggling with here on earth may just very well be your next door neighbor for eternity. So perhaps it would help to start loving them now. Amen? As a prisoner for the Lord, Paul says in Ephesians 4, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Because guess what? Your spouse, your kid, your coworker, your family member in the church, your neighborhood, your neighbor, somebody across, somebody is going to do something that is going to give you an opportunity to bear in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It requires some effort, but it's so worth it. This is the love that we have for all of God's people. All right. Finally, we're running to the end right now. I'm going to run to the table. A fruitful flourishing. I love what it says in verse 6. Don't miss, because there's a consequence to this hope that issues forth in faith and love. It says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So what happens is when we walk as people of hope, living lives of faith and love, what happens is that this gospel, which is what this gospel is all about, it's a gospel of hope and faith and love. This gospel begins to be fruitful and flourish. It grows and deepens all over the world. It spreads through the whole world. As it says in Revelation 22, we're coming full circle, and worship team, you can come on up. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Here's what I want you to notice. So we're back to heaven now. So the Bible begins in a garden, ends in a city, but in the middle of the city is the garden. And the river that flows through that garden, and the tree of life, and the leaves are for healing, and the fruit, 12 different kinds of fruit, one for every month, nourish the nations. This is the same picture that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 47. When he saw the river and he said, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Listen, their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. While we're on this side of heaven, now when we get to heaven, that's the reality that we're going to live in. Those leaves healing, the fruit for the nourishment. While we're on this side, that river of life is still flowing now, even here and now. And we, our lives, and the life of Christ flowing through us, is that which brings healing and brings nourishment to the nations. So my prayer as we go forward, as Pastor Justin and I and Pastor Daniel, and for everyone doing ministry wherever it is, my prayer for you as you go to your workplace tomorrow morning, as you go to your neighborhood this afternoon and into your home, may the leaves of your life bring healing. May the fruit from your life bring life to those who need nourishment. Because we live in a wounded and waiting world, desperate for this hope which we have. Desperate to find faith and love. And we have it. Let us bring it forth. Let us be, in Psalm 1, those trees planted by the streams of living water. That's my prayer for us. So I literally want to pray the prayer of Paul in Romans 15, and Liz put up a great firework display there for us with that. But so it's that picture of abundance and overflowing. Listen to it first, and then I'm going to pray. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're coming to this table in just a moment. This table, Pastor Steve, come on up. This table is what reminds us of, remember a month ago at our picnic, I taught you this little, our hand motions. Take your hands, put them up, put a hand up, one hand, go like this, and this. One more time, this, and this. The table brings us back to remember what Christ has done. The table brings us in to examine our hearts and let the Spirit examine our hearts today to see if there's anything blocking us in our relationship with him. And then the table brings us together and it shows us, is there anything bringing us that's blocking us from our relationship with others? Because there's a horizontal part of this cross going up and across, and then looking up towards the future, because this table is preparing, is showing us what's before us. The table, the wedding feast of the Lamb that is there for you and I. So this is just a small picture. It's going to be incredible. But that's our hope today. So as we come to the table, come in hope today. If you haven't yet walked into faith, let faith arise within you. Just open your heart and let Christ come in. He wants to be with you. He wants to show you much more than you've ever known of the love of God and of the purposes of God for your life. And you can invite him in. You just ask, you receive, you repent, as Pastor Liv, which just means turn around from your own independence and turn to dependence on him and receive him. And know that there is a hope for you in heaven. Let me pray. Go ahead, put that one more time up, please, the peace. All right, so if you'd open your hands. Lord, I pray that you, who are the God of hope, would fill this body, this people today, with all joy and peace as they trust in you, Lord, so that we as a people may overflow with hope by the power of your Spirit. Lord, attend to your word today. I pray that the fullness of that which you intend in every heart today will be fulfilled through your word going forth into our hearts. And as we come to this table now, we come with hearts expectant and with hearts thankful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you this morning.
Today, if you are trusting Jesus, then you're welcome at the table. If you're part of the family because you've trusted Jesus, you're welcome. Those gates are open. The gates of hell are locked from the inside. People who do not want to have God interfering in their lives. But if you want God to be part of your life, you're welcome at the table. If you have made Jesus your hope, You're one who you are depending on. You're welcome. You don't have to be part of our congregation already if you're part of the family already. And we're going to serve the meal, the family meal together. And children, if your parents let you partake, that's fine. You can do that. And so we'll leave that up to the parents. And then we're all going to hold it together so that we can eat together. Since it takes a long time to pass the food in this congregation, we just hold it until we can eat together. And we are coming to this table, as Pastor Jim mentioned. The wedding feast of the Lamb is coming. This celebration of our union, of our consummation together, our hope is coming. We're going to have that city that's not crowded. It's got a garden in the middle of it. Lots of room. We're going to be together. And you know, we talked about last time that we often have these spiritual ideas of things floating around. But we're going to have real bodies. We're going to have real food at a real banquet on the banks of a real river with fruit and leaves that we can eat. And we're going to celebrate together. But we get to taste now. We get to taste that hope, that love, that peace, that faith now, because Jesus is already resurrected, because Jesus died for us to open the gates, to prepare the place for us, the place of peace, the place of his presence for all peoples. So I'm going to read this passage that we often read. Of course, there's a lot of passages referring to this we could read, but I want to read it now. Then we're going to go back and read it later. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're going to do this until he comes. That's the looking forward part. Because when he comes, we're not just going to have a little taste. We're going to have a banquet together. And his presence is going to be more real. We're not going to need the lights on or the sun out. Therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So we need to think about our body. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For when anyone who drinks and eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we had judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, when we're talking about this judgment, I'm on? Okay. When we're talking about this judgment, it's not just that we have to think about everything we've done. We want to examine ourselves, but like Pastor Jim mentioned, we need to examine our relationships with each other. That's what he's talking about. Are we sharing? They had meals with this, and their sharing wasn't happening in the meal. Examine your relationships with the rest of the body. The rest of the body here, the rest of the body in Congo, in Ethiopia. Are we sharing? Are we preparing to eat together? Is everybody having enough? That's the kind of examination we're having. But we're celebrating the hope when there will be no hunger, when the doors will always be open. Gates will always be wide. And Pastor Ludwig, would you break the bread with me? It's in the breaking that the sharing happens. Jesus' body was broken and shared with us. And for those of you whose bodies aren't perfect yet, this is gluten-free.
So come and let's share. If you pass this out. I'm going to go to the back. Amen. Pastor Mike, would you pray for the body of Christ, for the bread that we are about to partake?
Seigneur notre Dieu, nous voulons te dire merci pour ce grand sacrifice que tu as accompli à notre égard en donnant ton Fils Jésus-Christ sur la croix, mourir pour nos péchés. Il s'est laissé injurier, humilié. Il a été mis à nu, Seigneur, à cause de nous. Il a été frappé, maltraité, ô Dieu, à cause de nous. Te disons merci, Seigneur Jésus, d'avoir accepté de donner ta vie pour nous. De donner ton corps, Jésus, pour être meurtri à cause de nous. Merci, Seigneur, parce que tu as donné même ton sang au Dieu comme sacrifice, ton sang divin, précieux, comme sacrifice pour nos péchés. Merci, Seigneur. Quel privilège, quelle grâce nous avons, au Dieu, de trouver grâce devant toi, Seigneur. Et ce sang maintenant qui a été répandu coule maintenant dans nos veines. Ô Dieu, quel privilège, quelle grâce nous avons aujourd'hui de pouvoir être autour de cette table, notre Dieu, partager ce pain et ce breuvage, notre Dieu, pour le bien de notre corps spirituel, de notre corps même physique également. Parce qu'à travers cette table, pour avoir la guérison de nos maladies, Seigneur. Agis maintenant, Seigneur. Agis à travers cette table, Seigneur. Et fais ton œuvre dans nos cœurs, dans nos vies, dans nos pensées, dans nos sentiments, dans nos émotions. Oh Dieu, et donne-nous la force de continuer à te servir et à être des fidèles témoins de ta grâce et de ton amour. Loué soit ton nom, Seigneur. Béni soit ton nom. Au nom de Jésus. Amen.
Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this, eat this, in remembrance of me." So let's eat, remembering and looking forward. Pastor Ludwig, would you pray for the cup?
Father God, we want to thank you Lord, because of this cup we have hope.
Jesus, we have hope.
Hope, Father, that one day we will be in your presence, mm-hmm. where we can touch you, mm-hmm. where we can look at you the way you are to us, mm-hmm. as son and daughters. And then now, Father God, we live here just like our father is going to a foreign country. We can't touch him because he's far away from us. But we know, Lord, in our heart, you always here with us. But the incredible thing that your hope that will be one day touch you in the reality, yeah. because of this cup. Father, we pray that you bless this cup, bless this blood, and it's becoming exactly, Lord, the way it shed on the cross for us. Can be a blessing for everyone, Lord, who have hope in you, who trusts you, and who knows that Jesus is the only hope, only life, only way. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. So in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Jesus said, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Do you remember that Jesus, after he was resurrected, ate and drank with them? And he let them touch him and his wounds. And when it was he broke the bread, they said, "Oh, Jesus is here." And he's here, and yet there will be the day when we can touch him again and break this together. Let's drink the cup together with him and with each other. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the hope, the joy, all that you have for us, for your love for us. Thank you, Harry. Praise God that the truth came out and his son is free from the accusations. And praise God that the rest of us who were guilty of a lot of things, Jesus took the rap for us and died for us, took our punishment, and we're free too. And we're heading for a great reunion with our Father and with his Son. Lord, let's just pray quickly and then a benediction. Lord, thank you for your freedom, for this Son. Thank you for truth coming to light. And Lord, thank you for your truth, your freedom, your ransom for our lives, your freedom and your future for us. And now, be blessed and go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his grace, the one who died for you, in the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to taste that life now, and in the fellowship with the Father, who is preparing a place for you. Go in his presence out into this world as we look forward to our next world that he is creating and bringing to us. Go in his blessing, his hope, his power. Amen.